a secondary reason to be very thoughtful in your process of a rebrand. Not just brand equity, like people know us by this, but there's a lot of things that are behind the scenes that most people won't realize that you're going to have to, hoops you have to jump through.
Yes.
Hoops on fire while,
yeah.
while over a pack of alligators
trying to
make it happen, right?
Yeah.
Welcome to the Golden Group Strategic Growth Podcast, featuring expert insights, interviews with thought leaders, and business plan triage. Hosted by Kyle Golding, award-winning entrepreneur, CEO, and chief strategic idealist for the Golding Group.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the Strategic Growth Podcast. I'm your host, Kyle Golding. I'm joined today by Tim Priebe, the cool boss man, CEO and owner of / Creative, which used to be TNS. There's been a brand change, and we're going to talk about that today. We're going to talk about business ownership. Tim's been in business a little bit longer than I have, just had a big anniversary.
Yep.
So we're going to discuss that. Being in business for a long time means you're doing things right. Had a rebrand, all the thought process that goes into that, the pros and cons, the pitfalls, all of those things that happen. So welcome to the podcast, Tim.
Thank you, Kyle. Glad to be here.
So we've known each other a long time.
Yep.
I think as I was preparing for this, I was like, I think this will be the person I know the most
okay.
on the podcast for an interview.
Yep.
Like I know a lot of people I talk to, and some people are the first time I meet them is the day they come in the studio. But I was like, oh, I barely have to make any notes for Tim outside of, I wanted to make sure I got that right though, that you've been in business originally as TNS and now as / for 20 years.
Yeah, 20 years. We had our 20-year celebration a couple months ago and our rebrand at the same time, but it's flown by. And I keep thinking, oh, it's not that big of a deal. And I actually gave a talk earlier this year. I was really embarrassed, which I don't embarrass very easily. But I said the talk was on 20 lessons for 20 years. Mm. And I said, okay, show of hands, who's been in business, owned, or at the same company for 5 years, 10, 15, 20? My expectation was at 20 years, like 3 or 4 people would have their hand up, and I'd say, okay, well, congratulations, everyone. It's not just me. Nobody else had their hand up. And I was like, oh, this looks like I'm bragging now. This was not what I meant to do. Because to me, it's just like, you know, stick with it and learn lessons. I mean, I'm just a stubborn guy, and so I've been in business 20 years is how I feel about it. But, you know, I underestimate, you know, the value of that sometimes for sure.
I tell people that I've been in business of some sort for 37 years because I started my first business when I was a teenager.
Yeah.
And sometimes I throw that 37 number out. People are like,
they're like, wait a second.
I started when I was 15. Oh, right. Okay. Well, now it starts to add up a little bit.
Yeah.
Which is always nice when people think maybe you're younger than you are.
Well, and it's nice even, I mean, this specific business, I was relatively young when I started at 25. And so there's not a lot of people that have started a business at 25 and are still running the same business, you know, 20 years later for sure. But I'm like you, I started all sorts of crazy stuff when I was a kid and lawn mowing companies. And in elementary school, I sold Simpsons drawings. And so I've done all sorts of crazy stuff over the years.
You had a zine, right? You had a magazine.
Yeah, I had a Star Trek magazine that I ran for 3 or 4 years. Did not make any money, but I did learn a lot of good stuff about remotely coordinating people. Back then, there was no Zoom. It was all via snail mail.
Right.
I had multiple contributors across the country, including a couple guys in prison, which was interesting. But
you had prison work study, huh?
Yeah.
I'm going to throw a couple of other numbers out because I think these are important for the audience listening, that you guys, TNS, that now is / you've done over 500 websites.
Yes.
That's impressive.
Yeah.
That's a great number.
Yeah. Yeah, it used to be – so I briefly had a business partner literally for 1 year, the very first year of the 20. And so we kind of handed off – he was colorblind, so I'd always have to check them at least. but we were both kind of coder guys, which you had to be back then, kind of a programmer. Right. And so we did a lot of little ones back then, and kind of it's grown through the years. And it's interesting to me anyway now because when we started – for the first 11 years, we were TNS Web Design, and then the second 9 years, we were TNS Online Marketing. And so for the first, 8 or so years, basically we were just doing websites. Mm-hmm. And so we did a lot of websites. They were a lot cheaper for us then anyway, because they were a lot lower quality. But yeah, so I wouldn't say all 500 of them were great. But yeah, we've done 500 plus websites over 20 years. Yeah.
Most people can't say they've been in business 20 years. Most people can say they have done 500 websites, even if that's what they do primarily. You guys have also done volunteer work for 50 nonprofits. I think that's an amazing number as well.
Yeah, and to be honest, we lost track. And so we knew for sure it was 50. It's really been over that. Mm. But we do volunteer work for in most years, you know, in the recent years, there's been a couple years that went kind of crazy. But most years, every other month, we do volunteer work. In fact, my coworker just booked all the, I don't know if she got all of them. I haven't double checked that, but started booking everything. I may have got it all done for next year. Mm. So every other month, we do a Fun Friday, which is a half day. And every other month, the alternate months, we do a volunteer day. And so we definitely have some organizations that we go back to again and again, but we also like to just learn about new organizations and go volunteer. So we've done a lot of, sorting diapers. We've done clothing distributions. We've prepped food, you know, all sorts of crazy stuff that over the last, you know, the time. And I will say kind of one of my proudest moments, and I actually wasn't there, but we won an award. I think I had the flu or something, but we won an award and got a signed certificate from the, I believe it was the governor at the time of Oklahoma, thanking us for all the volunteer work we did. And my team was apparently sitting at a table with a decent sized bank, and they were talking with each other. And my team shared, this is what we do every other month. We do this volunteer work. They said, every other month? And so I guess it was way more than they did, and which just seems kind of crazy to me because they were definitely much bigger than us. We were maybe a team of like four, I think, at the time or something like that. So
it's become part of your culture.
Absolutely, absolutely. Giving back, yeah.
And culture is... it's partially intentional and it's partially organic, right? It has to be the people involved and how they participate.
Yes. I would say most of the time you and I have known each other, it's been very organic. Mm. This was really kind of the first step towards our rebranding process was we sat down and defined our mission, vision, and values.
Right.
And so we're a lot more intentional. In fact, my current staff, everyone on staff currently, aside from myself and my wife, those values were actually in the job descriptions. Kyle, these were the longest job descriptions I had ever written. I was like, if this doesn't disqualify the people that aren't a good fit, I don't know what's going to. But at the same time, I was really worried about, I don't know who the crap is going to read all this. But that's what they identified with. And so it's been a huge help to have that defined and really live those values out. Do I always remember, you know, how everything, the wording of everything and how, you know, exactly what all? No, I don't. But we're living them out, and I do review them on a regular basis.
Unlike most people who write it down one time and then forget it and absolutely don't live those things out, right?
Yeah.
So you mentioned you started out as TNS Web Design.
Yep.
Then had not a complete rebrand, but an update to that by adding TNS Online Marketing about 11 years into that
process. Yeah, 11 years in, so that was 9 years ago, yeah. Right.
And so now, in 2023, complete rebrand from TNS to /creative.
Right.
So let's talk about this. A lot of people have never gone through a rebrand.
Sure.
A lot of people are very scared by it, intimidated by it. Some people think, hey, let's rebrand every 2 years, which is also equally as bad of an idea.
Yeah.
So 20 years in, you finally decided to move away from the original brand, which, and of course, the scariest part of a rebrand is the loss of brand equity.
Right.
But you felt it was necessary. So walk us through that initial process of like, should we do this? And how did you go from should we and here's all the cons to here's all the pros and let's do this?
Yes. So at its core, there were two issues. Number one, I felt like, we had started going through the better defining of our brand. Right. And it was becoming quickly obvious that I didn't feel like our name reflected it well. I didn't feel like our visual identity reflected it well. And so I thought, okay, what are we going to do? Now, the other big factor, and this is what happened, is we debated 9 years ago a more drastic rebrand.
Okay.
And one of the reasons we said, no, we're going to stick with TNS as part of the brand. In fact, we didn't even change we sort of changed logos. We just changed the words web design to online marketing in the original logo at the time. But ever since then, I had regretted, no pun intended, not being more creative with the rebrand. And So I had already regretted that. And then in the 9 years, we had progressed to become more strategic, to become better at design. We'd expanded services to include video, like you and I were talking about, and things that I just didn't feel like were accurately reflected. The other thing I didn't realize 20 years ago when I named my business was that businesses with initials like that often have a sort of stigma that they're a mom and pop shop.
Okay.
So I didn't want to be viewed. I mean, we are a small, nimble team, but I don't want to be viewed. But our work is far advanced from a dude. No, nothing against the dudes in his basement. There's a place for that. Or the guy that's, you know, we were talking about interns earlier.
We've all started there and we've moved out of
the
basement.
Exactly. So just felt like it really didn't portray us accurately. And then I thought of all the headaches we'd gone through 9 years ago and how I fully expected that to be harder this time, but we decided it was still worth it. It was a long process. Originally, it was not supposed to be timed with our 20th anniversary, but as you know, things got extended and different things in COVID. And so it ended up taking us, I think it was a total of, it was 3 years because we started in 2020. Yeah, working on it. So
good. So it was a slow and intentional process.
Yes, absolutely.
And I think that's an important point to make, because when you do something essentially as dramatic, as drastic as a rebrand, because there are cons to it, there are drawbacks to it, you do need to take your time and be very specific in what you're doing, why you're doing it, and then how it's going to serve you for the next at least five. Here's the rule, folks. The rule is you got to stick with your brand for 5 years.
Yes.
Otherwise, you're just spinning your wheels.
Unless
you have a major pivot, you know,
right.
Which you haven't pivoted. You've just evolved.
Right. So I've joked with my team that I said, so another 10 years, guys, and then we'll rebrand again. And they have informed me, no, that is not okay.
I like to tell people that five is guaranteed. 10 is a good window. If it serves you for 20, congratulations on that.
Right.
You know, we just passed our 12th anniversary. And every year I say, should we update the branding? Because we do branding.
Right.
Or should we update the branding? And the reason I haven't, honestly, between just really being too busy and, you know, between the four of us being in two different states, is I'm so afraid, because we do branding, I'm afraid if I don't do it 100% perfectly, then people are going to go, man, well, what happened to the branding guys who missed on their own brand?
Yeah. You don't want to miss something, right.
But there's never a perfect time either, right?
Which, and we do visual branding. And so I know you do a lot more stuff. Like, you know, we worked with someone else when we did the mission, vision, and values. Right. But we do visual branding. But we had the same, you know, and so it was honestly a lot slower. It was slower than I would have liked at an instinctual level, right? Mm-hmm. I'm a guy that likes to rush into things. And there are decisions, I think, if you have a system, there are decisions that it's okay to make quickly. And there are some decisions you have to make quickly.
Right.
But completely changing your brand and name and all that, I think that is not something that should be rushed into, for sure.
So during this process, surely there were things that were easier than you expected them to be and things that were harder than you expected them to be. So what's an example for each?
So we decided, after we had already solidified mission, vision, and values, and decided that necessitated a full new brand, we started with the name, and we did not move forward until we had a name that we were happy with.
Okay, that makes sense.
That took a long time.
That's a hard one.
It took a long time. And so one of my former coworkers originally came up with the name, and I ended up really liking it because / is true to our origins of digital marketing.
Right.
And I say origins, and that's still where we focus. We have a few ancillary things that we're like, oh, yeah, if we do rebranding because your branding sucks, well, we don't have to just use it on your website. You can use it elsewhere. But for the most part, we're sticking with, you know, digital marketing. So the / stayed true to digital, and the creative was literally like, no, that's what we've taken things to the next level. Creative, not just in terms of visuals, but creative in terms of a strategy as well. So we're a lot more, offer a lot more services that are, I mean, certainly more so than 20 years ago, broader in kind of scope and different things playing together and working together. I have clients all the time that say, well, can you just do this and work with someone that's doing this? Like, we might have a client that says, can you manage our social media and work with our client, our other provider that's managing the website? And the answer is yes, but it's not going to be as effective as if we did both.
Certainly.
And so anyway, getting more creative with kind of how we, different ways we make all those things play together. And so from the name standpoint was great, but it was not a short journey to come up with that. And it was really one of those things where the name came out and then we decided, okay, well, that makes sense because this and this. So it's not like we arrived at the name because of that, but we liked the name because of just how it sounded, and then also because we felt like it played into both of those ways that we'd evolved.
So what was something that was harder than you thought it was going to be?
I don't know that it was harder. The aspects of it were harder than I thought it was going to be, was the logo step in the visual branding. Because my designer is great, and I liked more than one of the concepts.
Yeah.
And so ultimately we had a really cool concept that I loved that was yellow and black, and it was fantastic. And we at a certain point, we just had to pick which way we were going to go. And so that was painful. To narrow it down, we had like all the logos on a hall in our office, and we would walk back and forth, and it was kind of which one was catching our eye. And this was in 2020, so we did have a few clients coming in at that point, and so we would ask them. Right. Some of them we shared that, but that was a lot more difficult. And then it was the technical aspect. You and I were talking just a little bit earlier, but the technical aspect. So I'd gone through some of the technical aspect 9 years ago. Well, it turns out the internet has evolved. Who knew?
So
the technical aspect has been a lot more challenging. And there are things that we still haven't done. Like, again, you and I were talking, but like we're probably within, it's going to be a Christmas thing. I think we're going to take care of it. But we haven't switched all our handles on the social network from the old one, just because that has far reaching repercussions.
Right.
The more creative you've been and integrated your different marketing efforts have been, the more repercussions that has. So that's been a challenge. But then just, the first time we did it, we didn't switch domain names. Mm-hmm. And this time we did. So we actually had a T&S type domain name before, so we didn't have to switch it. It was still T&S.
Right.
But this time we did switch it, and I will say the amount of things that you use to log in with that email address, or we are Google Workspace users, so the amount of things that literally we were using Google to log into, that was the painful stuff, because some of those things you just couldn't change on your own. You had to reach out to the help, and then some of them are just like, sorry, you're going to have to make a new account. And so that's been, in some cases, been pretty painful, for sure.
So that's a secondary reason to be very thoughtful in your process of a rebrand, not just brand equity. Like, people know us by this, but there's a lot of things that are behind the scenes, and most people won't realize that you're going to have to, hoops you have to jump through.
Yes.
Hoops on fire
while
over a pack of alligators trying to make it happen, right?
Yeah.
But there's got to be benefit
to
go through this. So now that you're on that backside of it, you've launched it, you're getting the reaction from people. How do you feel that it's this 3-year journey?
Yes. Is,
and how do you feel it's going to serve you moving forward?
Yeah, no. So it's been, how I feel now is fantastic. I'm loving it. People that have known me for years said, yes, this is you. That other brand was not you.
Okay.
And honestly, the whole deal was that other brand was me 20 years ago, not 10 years ago when they met me. Or you and I have known each other like 13 years, something like that, 12 years. I had already changed away from that by the time you and I met, much more so now. So definitely people, the reaction people have gotten is good. We're at a higher investment level. I always want to have options for people that maybe think they can't afford professional help. And of course, obviously there are people that still can't afford it,
sure.
But I always want to have a lower end. But our higher end has expanded by quite a bit just because we now have 20 years. It's not just because, but we've got 20 years of experience now.
Yeah.
And me alone has 20 years of experience. So we're more capable. And I think this brand just looks a lot higher end from a visual standpoint. I think that's what the name conveys versus our old name as well. So I'm really happy at we're waiting at least 10 years, if not 20 years to rebrand. Of course, who knows, especially with the internet, but who knows what can come along. But I feel confident that We put a decent amount of thought in 9 years ago, but even more in now. So I would say we've put the most thought into this brand, and the reception has been, I mean, the reception before is kind of like, oh, okay, you know, and this reception has been fantastic. We've had people commenting left and right, front and center, you know, all about, you know, the both visual and creative aspect of it, for sure.
So it made that 3 years of back and forth and
worth
arguments and,
yes,
and grind and toil worth it, right?
Mm-hmm.
But in that this 20 years that we time frame we keep referring to, the world has changed too, right?
Yes.
The world has changed. Business has changed. Obviously, the internet has changed. Digital marketing has completely changed. Smartphones and social media and you know, the access to technology that we have now that we've never had before.
Yep.
How have you, just you personally, your approach to, you know, 20 years ago, you're like, I think websites are going to be important and online communication is going to be important. Eventually, kind of, you know, it needs to be more online digital marketing. And now this commitment to what you said earlier about digital business. How do you think you've seen things change, and how do you think things will move forward from here?
So in my mind, there's been kind of a divergence in the online realm. Whereas 20 years ago, I mean, I literally still remember the thought I had walking down my hall in my house was, I bet I could build a website for any business. And that was the extent of it. And back then it was, yeah, you had to know or figure out HTML code in order to build a website. You had to know something about web servers and how to get it online. And so there's been a divergence over the years. Now you have some great tools. I mean, they have 100% have their place, but tools like Wix, Squarespace, tools like Canva. I mean, we use Canva sometimes for certain things. And so you have all of these tools that have a lower point of entry. Right. So I think what you've taken is you had a very narrow, and you've taken the bottom and brought that down where more people can do it. But at the same time, it's gotten more complex. We have years and years of data now. We understand the psychology of what happens online now. And so the higher end has been raised as well. And so I feel like the ability of someone to either do it on their own or even to be a professional and do it, there's a much wider window of skill level, skill set that you can have. And so that's been a huge difference, I think. I mean, 20 years ago, a business owner essentially couldn't do a website
right,
by themselves.
Right.
And now that is 100% an option. And if you have a good eye, just a good eye for design, a lot of the tools, if you stick to their design suggestions, will give you a good looking site. Stick to their design suggestions and limitations, right? Understand their limitations
right,
and make it work within there. But when you get highly effective digital marketing is when you start investing something in, and again, you can do it, you can still do it yourself, but it's gonna take a lot of time
sure,
and training. And people like myself, like yourself, have been doing this stuff for years and years and years. So why reinvent the wheel? But anyway, if you have just decide you want it to be a hobby, it can be a full-time hobby for sure. But there's just a lot more psychology that goes into it now, I think. And it's not just, you know, we used to talk about even, you know, 15 years ago about color theory and bringing things that had worked in the print world and you know, what colors do these
above
evoke?
The fold.
Yeah, concept, exactly. Yeah. All that stuff. And so, but how people, the data we have now has changed. Even people's behavior, the internet has retrained them. Above the fold is a great example.
Yeah.
People know to scroll down now. So above the fold, for those that don't know, typically means, okay, when you first load up a website,
right,
what's visible on the screen? And that used to be a big deal about putting your most important things
you gotta
on the
capture
top.
Them. You got to capture them when the first spot.
And it was. And it wasn't wrong.
Yeah.
It wasn't wrong 10, 15 years ago. Turns out people know how to scroll now. And so that they're never assumed that everything's on the top. And so I'm doing the finger swipe motion, but I mean, obviously mouse or whatever.
But also you have websites built for 16:9
yep,
rectangular and vertical
yep,
for phones, etc.
Yep.
So there's so many more considerations
yes,
to the technology because consumer behavior has changed.
Well, and we even when we saw, and it's rapidly evolving. When the iPhone first came out, there was a while. Of course, for those that don't know, the iPhone is where it like you. They had little phones. They used to call them feature phones, but they had little phones that you could browse the web. But it was a really horrible experience.
Awful.
It was bad.
Terrible.
And so these iPhones came out, and you could pinch and zoom, and that was a selling point.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the current websites would work on your phone. But they we used to set up like mobile or m.whatever.com.
Yeah.
You know, and so there used to be a totally separate copy of the website, and eventually that was a nightmare to maintain.
Yeah, the logistics behind that's terrible.
We set up a lot of websites like that at the time, but it was a nightmare. So that evolved pretty quickly to what is now referred to in our industry as responsive design, but meaning the website responds to the size of the browser or device that it's in. Right. So it just adjusts accordingly. But this stuff, I mean, you talk about just in the last couple of years, social media. I mean, a year ago, Threads wasn't a thing.
Right.
You know, a year ago, X was called Twitter still.
Right.
And so
I liked it better as Twitter. I still say Twitter.
Yeah.
Twitter till I die. I'm going to call it Twitter. Elon.
There's just so many things that changed so rapidly. I mean, AI 6-8 months ago was not even on the – I say it went on the radar. Obviously, it was on people's radar. It wouldn't have hit.
But not the public.
Right, exactly. I mean, scientists have been working on – I think the term AI was coined in the 50s when they started working on it. It might have been 60s, but I think it was 50s. And so – 70 years, because I wrote a thing about 70 years. I was like, and it kind of failed forward for 70 years before it entered the public domain. But man, how rapidly that's all changed in the past, 8-9 months for sure. So that's one of the things I love about doing this. And I love about digital specifically is that it's both the bane of my existence and something I love is the rapidly changing technology, things that sometimes you get warning about this stuff, sometimes you don't. Sometimes you wake up one morning and it's called X.com, and so it's just, I love it and hate it. It's a pain to keep up with. If I didn't have to do client work, I would just keep up with that stuff all the time. But it's crazy how often that changes and how it's retrained society.
Right.
How it's kind of entered into this feedback loop of society adjusts to the internet, which adjusts to society.
Which then also creates opportunities. I kind of feel like this is the best era for if you want to start a business or have a side hustle, if you want to keep your day job and have a side hustle, if you want to have a hobby that is monetized, or if you just want to connect with like-minded people for fandom or things like that, there's all these opportunities online now because of the technology, the connectivity. It's in your pocket.
Yep.
The power in your pocket that used to be 20 years ago is
what I had to do
a big giant machine.
Right.
The
I mean, the connections I had to make through snail mail in high school and middle school are now. I mean, they're instantaneous.
Right.
It's crazy. I mean, Reddit has its pros and cons, but there's a million communities on Reddit. You can get really niche into something that you like, that you're passionate about. Facebook groups, LinkedIn groups, whatever the case is. That was like pen pal crap we were doing, in the late 90s.
Right.
I mean, it's insane how easy it is to do now versus then.
In fact, a great example of that is you took the opportunity to become the publisher of Edmund Business Magazine when the print magazine folded, and you stepped in and said, "Well, we could do a digital magazine and keep this alive." So how did that actually happen?
So the I'll share the short version of the background. And so there was a newspaper up in Edmond, north side of Oklahoma City, for anyone that's not familiar with the Oklahoma City area. But north side of Edmond, there was a newspaper, and they had a business magazine. And I'd been a columnist for almost a decade. I'm still irritated I didn't hit a decade. But I'd been a columnist for almost a decade writing digital marketing column for this magazine. And one day the staff walks into the office and are told that it's shutting down. And so the newspaper shut down, took the magazine with it. I heard about this the next day. Over the years, I had considered, I should, this would be something that would be fun, neat to put together a business magazine, but I need to focus. There's no obvious hole in the marketplace. Just adding my voice to noise when I have other stuff I need to be focusing on. You and I were talking about that
earlier.
Which
is why your business survived, because you focused.
Yes.
If you had not focused, maybe you probably wouldn't have made it.
Exactly. So my wife is very responsible for me focusing. It seems like 90% of her job is telling me, no, don't do that. Focus on this.
So everyone needs that person.
Yes. So the day after they shut down, I went to her and said, hey, what do you think? I've thought about this off and on. This is not the first. And we have all the skill sets. We're a content creation house. It's a huge part of what we do for marketing. Setting up and managing a website is not a big deal. Selling, I've never sold ads before, but I've sold, for years. And to my surprise, she said she thought it was a good idea. And so we spun that up. It was, I'm going to get the months wrong, but I think it was maybe 3 weeks after that conversation with my wife that we released the first batch of stories. We call every month an issue, but we released the first batch of stories online. And I must have had 50 conversations with people in that time, talking to people that had worked at the newspaper and magazine, talking to my friends in PR, talking to my friends in marketing, and just saying, what do you think about this? What, you know, what are the pros and cons? What am I not thinking through? And yeah, we've been going just over three years now. Yeah.
Congratulations on that as well. And you've written 5 books.
Yes, I've written 5 books, 3 of them good.
I mean, at least 2 of them. So I don't know if they're in the good list or the bad list, but.
Yeah, I think it's Stephen King that has a saying that you should write your first novel, finish it up, print it out, and then stick it in your drawer and not show it to anyone. I didn't do that. I published mine. So the first book I wrote was called Webifiable. And good grief, I don't even know how long that's been, but it was about how to build and manage a website, you know, 10 plus years ago. So that does not apply anymore at all. So that one is out of date now. Although I still kept that name. I used that name for my column, Webifiable, that was with the magazine and is now with our magazine. So that was the first book. And then I wrote one. There was a drastic change on Facebook pages, and I wrote a blog article that exploded. I gave an in-person workshop that may still be the best attended workshop, and then I took it one too far, best attended workshop I've ever given, and then I took it one too far and wrote a book. And I kid you not, 1 year later, everything had changed that I had written about in that book. So those 2 books are completely irrelevant. I say not good. They were fine, but they're definitely not relevant anymore. Third and fourth book, which you were involved in some of this, we were talking at that time. You may have even been one of my test readers. I can't remember. But I wrote a book on basically the same concept for social media and for blogging, which is one of the things I heard from clients all the time is I don't know what to write about. And I said, great, I don't have any problem coming up with ideas. Here's a book with either ideas or how to come up with ideas. Now, I did make the mistake of calling the social media book 102 tweets because of that alliteration, but then people thought it was just for Twitter. I still run into that. I'm like, no, this is for any platform. It's just called 102 tweets because it alliterates.
If it fits on Twitter, it will fit on everything else.
That's right. That's right. And then the other book was called Blog a Week. And so that was your first year. So there were 52 ways to come up with blog topic ideas. And so those are very utilitarian books. I always tell people you should not read straight through this book, but multiple people have told me that they did and it was fine. And I'm like, okay. But it's really meant to, okay, it's time. I need an idea. You know, I'll flip to one of the pages. And you can just go straight through it sequentially daily if you want to, you know. But those were, I was like, I want useful books. And after my previous experiences that are more evergreen. Yes, blogging could fall out of, you know, Vogue or whatever, and certainly Twitter is not called Twitter anymore. But anyway, so those I still have people that refer that right. use those, and it's still purchased and given out on a regular basis. The fifth and so far final book, although I'm working on another one right now, was it was more high level, so it wasn't tactical. It was like. You've seen this over the years. People just throw, they're throwing spaghetti at the wall and just seeing what sticks. And I'm like, okay, here's 5 concepts that I think will cover most cases of how to get more strategic with your marketing. Mm-hmm. And so kind of the 80-20 rule, right? I'm like, here's the 5, there's a million concepts. Here's the 20% that will help you 80% of the time make better decisions. Mm-hmm. And so I put that book together and it really come up with the concepts through talking, through writing different things, and decided that it made sense to put all in one book. And that one is called Online Marketing Mind Shift, because again, typically people are throwing spaghetti at the wall. So this is like, let's get more strategic. So that's who that book. I mean, anyone obviously could read any of them, but that's who that book is targeted at. And my books are all very quick reads. The latest 3 are all square, which I like. I'm told that's not that professional, but I think it's a creative, easy way to make it look different and stand out from other books for sure. And of course, they're all on Kindle as well, which was a fun adventure.
There you go. So all of this comes together to 20 years of experience in this space, doing what you doing, the things that you do for your clients, because you have your websites, you have your social media, you have your blogs, you have your videos, you have your branding, yep. your visual presentation that you just redid as well. So you're learning the lessons and applying them right along with your clients.
Yes.
You're in the fight and teaching it at the same time.
Absolutely.
I appreciate being on the podcast today,
yeah.
having this conversation. Like I told you when I invited you on, we haven't had a lot of conversations about rebrand because many people don't do it.
Right.
And I keep saying I'm going to, and I haven't yet. So maybe I'll use this as fire under my belly to get our rebrand done before our 13th anniversary.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely.
It gives me a whole year.
Almost. Yeah, yep.
So thank you, Tim, for coming on today. This is Tim Priebe, the CEO and owner of Backslash Creative, also the publisher of Edmund Business. Is it magazine?
It's
is
just it Edmund Business. We call it an online magazine.
There it is. You can find it online. Thank you so much, Tim.
Absolutely. Happy to be here.
Thank you for listening to the Golden Group Strategic Growth Podcast. Please subscribe so you never miss an episode. Follow the Golden Group on social media. For more information, past episodes, or to contact us, please visit thegoldengroup.com.